I know you smoke, I know you drink that brew. I just can't abide a sinner like you, you know. God can't either, that's why I know it to be true that Jesus loves me, but he can't stand you. I'm going straight to heaven, boys, when I die, because I've crossed every T and I've dotted every I. Why, my preacher tells me that I'm God's kind of guy. That's why Jesus loves me, but you're going to fry.
God loves all his children, by God. That don't mean he won't incinerate some. Can't you feel those hot flames licking you?
I'm raising my kids in a righteous way. So don't you be bringing your kids over to my house to play. Why, yours will grow up stoned, left-leaning and gay. I know Jesus told me on the phone today.
Jesus loves me, this I know. And he told me where you're gonna go. There's lots of room for your kind down below. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Jesus loves me. He loves me real good. I know he does.
All right, a little bit of help there from the Austin Lounge Lizards. With a concept that I guess is becoming more and more popular every day. That being that Jesus loves me, but he can't stand you. That's off Lizard Vision. You're listening to People Rise Up on KBOO. My name is Andrew Geller, and it is the theocratic right of the religious and political spectrum here in the U.S. That's going to be the focus of the program today, and it's a new topic here on the program, and I guess one that's somewhat overdue, and we'll be back at it several times over the course of the near future. I'm very pleased this morning to bring to KBOO's airwaves Joan Beaucaire. She is the founder of Theocracy Watch. It's a project of the Center for Religion, Ethics, and Social Policy at Cornell University. And with that, welcome, Joan.
Hi, Andrew.
Thank you very much for joining us.
I'm glad to be here.
Now, the idea of a Christian right is nothing new here in the U.S., but it's an extraordinarily broad and, in some instances I've read, very inaccurate and deceptive term. It's really the theocratic wing or sect of the Christian right that I'm most interested in talking about today, though we can be a little bit flexible on that. Can you give us a little bit of a feel for how the Christian right breaks down in terms of different viewpoints and where the theocratic wing fits into that?
Sure. Well, the Christian right, as you are kind of suggesting, and rightfully so, is really a very big, amorphous, complex, and diverse, whatever, entity, movement. There are some 1,500 Protestant groups alone in this country. So to sort of lump this huge mass of people into one name is kind of tricky. Calling themselves Christians, and the movement I'm referring to, believe they are the only real Christians. Only the Christians who share their ideology are Christians. It's a real confusing term. Also right. I mean, there's a lot of people who are at the right end of the political spectrum, and one of the worst words of all, I mean, the word that is so misapplied is the word conservative, because mm-hmm. this movement is not conservative. It wants to radically change our government. Another misnomer is evangelical. I just want to get this all out before we start, because
yeah, please.
You know, people often talk about evangelicals as if that's this movement, and again, evangelicals cover the whole political spectrum. I mean, you think of Jimmy Carter as an evangelical. He's a liberal Democrat. There's the Evangelical Environmental Network. There are many wonderful evangelical groups. So that's not what we're talking about. The
okay.
Theocratic right, I think, is the most accurate term. I've been able to come up with. It's really referring to people who share a belief in what we call dominion, a belief that Christians have a mandate, a holy mandate, to take control over all the secular institutions until Christ returns. And that's really what they're doing. And this movement actually declared war in the early 1980s, and so many people are just clueless about this. But a war was declared on what they call humanism. It's a really deep-seated belief that they need to get control of our government and make it into a Christian nation.
In my reading, what I've found is that it's not just something that they happen to want to do. They feel that it's their purpose in life, mandated by their interpretation of the Bible, to set up a theocracy. Otherwise, Jesus won't return.
Yeah.
You mentioned the term dominion, which I think a lot of us have heard, if in no other context than the early part of the Bible, when God supposedly created the earth and granted dominion.
Right.
To
and the
it.
Term in that context has different interpretations. I mean, some people believe that to mean that we have a responsibility to take stewardship over the environment, where others see it as absolute control. So it has different meanings. In this context, it means taking control over all the secular institutions. That includes government, the schools, all the institutions that run this country.
Well, and more prominently, at least in the mainstream corporate media right now, it also means blurring and, I suppose, ultimately removing all separations of church and state, because these folks believe that anything secular, anything civil, anything state is beneath biblical law, and everything must be in accordance ultimately with what the Bible says. These folks are biblical literalists. Above and beyond their goal of taking over all institutions of civil government here in the U.S., can you give us a few other kind of defining ideas or concepts related to dominionism and mention a few of its prominent, more well-known proponents?
Okay, well, I think if you really want to understand it, just read the Texas Republican Party platform.
Mm-hmm.
It's all there. Another source that's really helped me understand what's going on is a popular textbook in Christian schools and the Christian homeschool movement called America's Providential History. They really explain it. America's Providential History explains that we have to understand everything from a biblical worldview, which means the way you see reality is you read the Bible and then move out from there to evaluate reality, rather than looking at reality and judging based on what you see. You read the Bible and then extrapolate out from there. And a really, really big part of that book, it comes up a lot, is this one phrase: God is the provider, not the state. So part of the belief is in dismantling the federal government, those except for the part of the government that provides protection. So you have a very strong military, but you dismantle social service programs, that all of that should be taken over by the churches. And strangely enough, that's what's happening in this country. I mean, with the faith-based initiative, there's a massive shift going on toward church-run programs rather than state-run programs. I looked up recently in the book Social Security, because I hadn't given that one too much thought.
In America's Providential History?
Yeah, and it says it right there. God is the provider, not the state. They see Social Security as part of this sort of great evil that's happened. You know, humanism has moved in. That all of that comes under that we have to shift away from the state providing services to religious institutions. They call taxes unbiblical, most taxes. The only tax they see as biblical is a flat tax or poll tax. They call for deep tax cuts, and so does the Texas Republican Party platform. Texas Republican Party platform calls for the elimination of most departments of government. I mean, the Health and Human Services and Department of housing and urban, you know, this, you can go to the Environmental Protection Agency, it's just agency after agency that they want to just abolish.
And you said there's the exception of protection, keeping, you know, keeping the military, the state police apparatus. But I would also say that above and beyond the idea of protection, I think projection of power is also a very key component of this plan, because let's face it, the U.S. military is more about projecting power than actually physically maintaining safety and security of the continental United States.
Yeah.
And the biblical worldview that these folks have mandates that, well, I guess first they have to, and this all relates to the rapture.
Well, that's where people start to get confused.
Okay.
There really are differences. But the adherents of dominion theology, the real hardcore dominionists, they emphasize the Gospel of Matthew, where Christ says, make disciples of all nations. That's the Great Commission. And that comes up a lot. This is a commission. They have been given a great commission to make disciples of all nations.
Mm-hmm.
So this does influence foreign policy. The rapture is something that people are familiar with. And certainly the biggest part of the theocratic right believes in the rapture, believes that the return of Christ is going to be very imminent. And then part of that is expanding Israel. So there's the ones that have been subsidizing settlements and bringing Jews, particularly from the Eastern Europe and former Soviet republics, to Israel to live in the settlements. And they've really played a major role in the whole expansion into the West Bank and Gaza Strip. But there are differences. The strong adherents of dominion theology don't believe that the return of Christ is necessarily imminent. They believe that they have to first create the conditions, which means Christianize most of the world. Paul Weyrich, who's a Republican strategist, really said it in 1980, as they were just starting to form the moral majority, and he said, our aim is to Christianize America. It's this idea of Christians taking control of the secular institutions, and starting in the United States, and then from here moving out. So this is sort of the first country in a chain of events that will ultimately Christianize the whole world.
Okay, yeah, I wasn't clear on the differentiation, or that a differentiation existed between folks that feel that Jesus is about to be coming back and we need to get stuff ready, as opposed to the folks that need to get stuff ready because Jesus won't come back until it's ready.
Yeah, it has to do with the timing. I mean, they're called premillennialists and postmillennialists. Those who believe Christ will come back before a thousand years of reign on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
Christ will live on the earth for 1,000 years. Those are the premillennialists. The postmillennialists believe first, you know, it could take a long time until we Christianize the world, and then he'll come back. I mean, it could be 1,000 years. Some think it could be even longer. So there's quite a difference in timing.
You're listening to People Rise Up on KBOO in Portland. My guest today is Joan Beaucaire. She's the founder of Theocracy Watch, and you can find out more about them online at www.theocracywatch.org. The People Rise Up website at kboo.fm also has a whole bunch of links to different parts of the Theocracy Watch website, as well as a whole lot of other resources about the theocratic right, Christian conservatives, political conservatives, etc. And so if you're curious about this, you can find a whole lot more resources at either of those locations. Now, can you give us a feel for who some of these prominent dominion theology adherents are, both in and out of government?
Yeah. Well, okay, let's start with the U.S. Congress. Tom DeLay is the very powerful majority leader of the United States House of Representatives. He said at a conference, he, meaning God, is using me all the time, everywhere, to stand up for a biblical worldview in everything that I do and everywhere I am. He is training me. So DeLay really believes that he is carrying out, you know, that he's acting on behalf of Christ, that he's Christ's messenger on earth, in a sense.
And I suppose that's why his ethics violations are really nothing to be concerned about.
Right. Well, the way he handled the house last year was just horrific. I mean, they changed all the rules. They voted on bills at 3 and 4 in the morning on Saturdays. You know, I mean, they just did so many things that were underhanded and really sneaky. But it's all for God. It's all because they're serving God. And these bills he had to get through so that Bush could get reelected, because they see Bush as their representative in government.
Let me just break in here for a second and elaborate more on those real early morning votes, because I've got this information right in front of me. This was initially published in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Okay, in the House of Representatives, I'm assuming this is last year, 2000.
This is the last session, yeah, okay. Last year.
2:54 a.m., a Friday in March, the House cut veterans' benefits by 3 votes. At 20:03 in the morning, on a Friday in April, the House slashed education and health care by 5 votes. At 2:33 on a Friday in June, the House passed the Medicare privatization and prescription drug bill by 1 vote. At just about 1 a.m. on a Friday in July, the House eviscerated, language here in the text, Head Start by 1 vote. And a little after midnight on a Friday in October, the House voted $87 billion for Iraq, reconstruction, etc., etc. So just a little more detail on you mentioning early morning votes.
Yeah.
So Tom DeLay, who else were you looking at here?
Oh, Rick Santorum in the Senate is a great example of, you know, he blurted out to an Associated Press reporter that if the Supreme Court says that consensual homosexual sex and the privacy of one's own home, if that's not illegal, then that means adultery and bigamy and polygamy. But it's interesting because the extreme end in the dominion theology spectrum, the extreme end, are called Christian Reconstructionists, and they believe that homosexuals, adulterers, they believe in the Ten Commandments is the rule of law, and that people who violate the Ten Commandments should have the harshest of punishments. And it's harsher than even going to prison. I mean, they at the very extreme end, they call for the death penalty for people who commit crimes against the Ten Commandments. I mean, look at the Ten Commandments. That's a pretty broad list. That includes idolatry, people who worship other gods. I mean, it's pretty shocking when you start looking at the Ten Commandments. There's the commandments about, love thy neighbor, and things, but there's also obey thy parents, so they call for the death penalty for unruly children, some of the people who are really extreme in this. So when Santorum somehow equated adultery and homosexuality with criminal activities, like incest, that's typical thinking. That's what they call biblical law. They believe that the Bible should become the defining source, that the Bible has supremacy over the Constitution. Another one who thinks like that is Bill Sessions. He's another Republican from, I think, Alabama. And Coburn was just recently elected from Oklahoma, who talks about abortionists should get the death sentence. So when people are talking like that, they're at the very extreme end of the spectrum, and it is quite a big spectrum.
Well, the new session of Congress just recently started. We've heard a lot of so-called debate about the so-called privatization of the Social Security system, which what's said publicly by the administration is completely different than what I'm reading about Social Security in the screeds put out by the far right, far theocratic right. Privatization is not what they want. They want it gone. They don't feel like there should be any state-assisted or sponsored health care, no Medicare, no Social Security, no public schools. Everything should just devolve to churches.
Exactly. God is the provider, not the state. That is the one phrase that I think is the most defining, perhaps, of this movement.
Now, there's going to be a whole lot of legislation introduced this Congress with a theocratic thrust to it. One of them, which has already been reintroduced, that failed in failed pretty significantly in the previous Congress, but, you know, they'll keep trying, is House Resolution 235. This was introduced on the 4th of January. And again, House Resolution 235, it's to amend the Internal Revenue Code to protect religious free exercise and free speech rights of churches and other houses of worship. It's called the House of Worship Free Speech Restoration Act of 2005. And if you take away all the parentheses and all the numbers and all the detailed text of what this wants to do, it basically boils down to they want to collect political contributions anonymously and in a tax-exempt way in churches.
Yeah, I mean, imagine what that's going to do.
Well, and they say it'll be fair because all denominations will be allowed to do it. It just happens that the theocratic right is, all set up and ready to go. And
they're also the mega churches. They're the ones, they have the numbers.
What's a mega church, and where are
I
they?
I think that the number that defines it, if it's more than, is it 4,000 or 2,000? But they're these very big, some of them have 10,000, 15,000 people attending, members. Falwell's Church in Lynchburg, Virginia has 22,000 members.
Wow.
These are really huge, and if you drive by any Sunday morning, the parking lot is full, and it's full every night of the week because there's so many activities, and it's really a way of life for people. It's just their whole world. They're the ones that are going to rake in the huge amounts of money.
There's also an effort that's not really on the radar screen of a lot of folks because Social Security has kind of eaten up all the media attention, mainstream corporate media attention, but an article from Monday's Los Angeles Times had a really detailed story about how the Bush administration and Republican leaders are trying to move away from the system most of us are familiar with in the context of employer-provided health insurance. And they basically want to replace this system that, again, most of us are familiar with very high deductible, catastrophic-type policies that everyone potentially would be mandated to carry, and then you just pay your routine medical costs out of pocket from money that you've set aside in these tax-sheltered accounts, which, may provide some more flexibility for folks that would like it, but critics are saying that basically it's an end run around the idea of, guaranteed health care, or not guaranteed because there's, 20% or more of the population that doesn't have it, but for folks who have a job and it's anticipated that the employer is provided health care, that would go away.
I didn't read the article, but yeah. It's really scary.
Yeah, Monday, January 31st, the LA Times, the article is called Healthcare Overhaul is Quietly Underway. There's also an article I came across yesterday from Catherine Eureka, or Eureka. You familiar with her?
Yes.
Okay. It's an article put out on the 19th of January and then updated twice since, and it's all about what the Bible says on a whole wide range of topics and how it squares with what the theocratic right publicly says the Bible says about a whole bunch of different things. And again, lots of resources you can read at the People Rise Up website. We're going to be coming back and looking at this topic many, many times because it's one of the most important things going today is trying to counter the theocratic right. The United States is not a theocracy. It never has been, and it never should be. Read up about the whole issue of separation in church and state, because there's a lot of misinformation out there promoting a theocratic view of the United States. In just the last couple of minutes here, above and beyond reading, education, making yourself familiar, what would you suggest folks involve themselves in to counter the effort to create a theocracy here?
Politics. Since the formation of the Moral Majority in 1979, this movement has been passionately involved in politics. And they are succeeding. That's why if you look at how Christian Coalition, the group founded by Pat Robertson, how they rate members of Congress, 41 out of 51 senators this last year got 100% rating. That means they voted with their issues 100% of the time. That's a huge number. Mm-hmm. They have managed to get themselves elected through a lot of just grassroots, hardcore political knocking on doors. That's the only way they're going to be stopped is by the electorate. And people should not take our political system for granted. We were given a tremendously brilliant, wonderful system, and we could lose it in the near future if people don't get more involved. Apathy has actually been the basis of so much of the work of the theocratic right. Just voter apathy has been their kind of mantra. As long as so few people are voting, and particularly the midterm elections, by the way, that's what they've made the biggest gains.
Well, I'd like to thank you very much for being on the program this morning. It's unfortunate we didn't have hours and hours and hours, but we'll wait for spring pledge drive to really dive into this, because we didn't look at the states, we didn't look at the courts, we didn't look at all kinds of stuff. So, Joan, I hope you'll come back sometime in the future.
Yeah.
And again,
it's been a pleasure. I'm very impressed with how well you've really done your homework.
Well, I've tried. I've been inundated with lots and lots of reading for the past week or so. But it's fascinating and it's frightening.
Yeah.
So, again, thank you very much.
Thank you, Andrew.
Joan Beaucaire is the founder of Theocracy Watch, a project of the Center for Religion, Ethics, and Social Policy at Cornell University. And, again, you can find out all about them online at www.theocracywatch.org. The People Rise Up website at kboo.fm also has all sorts of links related to the issue of theocracy in the United States, Theocracy Watch, lots and lots of articles, many of the more prominent and well-known theocratic right groups, and a whole bunch of groups that are working to counter their efforts. If you have any questions or comments about anything you heard today or any other day, you can send me an email at kboo@riseup.net. Thanks very much for listening.